Hey folks, welcome. Susan Baracco here. Welcome to this week's call. So glad to see you guys coming on board here. Hello everybody and welcome. I am hoping you can hear me. If you would, please jump in the chat as soon as you get settled and say hello and let me know that you can hear me. Make sure everything's working. And if you want to also answer our just for fun question for today, that would be great too. We're going to give everybody a few minutes. We've got people still coming on to the call, so we're going to wait a few minutes and give a minute or two here and give people a chance to join us. But just for fun, how would winning $1 million change your life? And David, thank you. Glad that you can hear it. Here in the Northeast, we are getting ready for a nor'easter, which is a special kind of storm that usually comes through in the winter and dumps lots of snow on us. It's too early for snow, thankfully, and so we're going to get dumped with rain starting tonight and into the day tomorrow, and they're expecting power outages, so I'm glad we're on the call today. All right. And Beverly says, a million would ensure I won't need to eat ramen when I'm 98. Amen. I love that, Beverly. Thank you. Yes, and switch roles, right, Beverly? You're living in your kids' basement instead of them living in yours? Yes, that would take care of it for me, too. Eva says, I would buy more real estate to keep passive income coming in and continue to build long-term wealth. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Yeah, see, that's the difference between someone more youthful and someone who's thinking, all right, how do I keep from working until I'm 85? Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Eva. David said, I would exclusively focus on editing and getting my novels published. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, editing is fun. It's a lot of work, but it's fun. I find that's a fun part of what I do. Eva said, you don't want to work till 85 either or live in your kid's basement. Nope. Trying my best not to. I'm trying my best to avoid all that. So Leslie says she would travel and have a luxurious vacation home somewhere. Yeah. That sounds great. Someplace warm and tropical and yeah. I'm in a part of the country where it's cold. It's only warm like 2 months out of the year. So the rest of the time it's nice, but just tropical would be kind of fun. Awesome. So David, glad you're here. Eva, Katie has joined us. There's someone here who's KP. Not sure who that is. If you would just type in the chat, let me know what your first name is so I know who you are. Leslie is here with us. Of course, Beverly. So glad you guys are here. Awesome. Karen. Okay. Thank you, Karen. Just so I know who you are. Well, let's dive in. This is like my favorite part of the call. So everybody needs to jump in and share a win. So type a capital W in the chat so that I know that it's a win, and I don't care how small it is. I want to hear about it. I love being able to share this and celebrate with you guys. So good things have been going on. It's been a busy time of year. It usually is after the Labor Day, after September starts, things tend to pick up for the most part. So tell me what's been going on. What's a good win you want to share? I know a couple of people have shared on Facebook, in the Facebook group too, but some recent wins, but love to hear about anything new that's come up. I personally actually picked up another client yesterday. Really exciting. Great book project that I'm going to be working on. And I've got another client that I'm talking to right after we're done here today with this call. And I'm hoping that goes well too. So Karen says she spoke with colleagues about her new venture and it was easy, I was confident, and they were interested. Great. That confidence is hard to find sometimes, kind of hard to come by, but congratulations, that's terrific. It's amazing. You never know where you're going to find business. It's amazing when you start, you know, talking to people at a gathering or an event, even a backyard barbecue or something. It's interesting. Very interesting. I actually met a publisher at a local pub here in town that the locals go to. And we go down there and hang out once in a while. And my husband and I, and got talking with this guy. It turns out he's a book publisher. It's like, hey, you're kidding. And we exchange cards, and I've since talked with him. And so it's interesting. It's kind of fun to be able to go out and just connect with people in a casual way like that. Awesome. All right. Eva says, this morning's LinkedIn commenting and conversation today has led to a potential client call scheduled for next week. Outstanding. And thank you, Eva. Yes, very excited. I'm going to have a busy 2020. Ramping up nicely here. Let's see. That's awesome, Eva. Good for you. Way to go with the LinkedIn commenting. Leslie says she submitted a three-level proposal to an architectural firm. The team met today and was interested. They wanted to know the difference between a blog post and case study. I'll keep you posted. Great. That's great. That sounds like a terrific opportunity, especially if they're interested in all of that, Leslie, you know, the blog posting and case studies and so on. Once you explain to them what they all are and how they work, that sounds like a terrific opportunity. David says, I don't have my 90-day action plan yet, but I recently posted to Indeed to try and find a writer to hire to outsource some of the work that's coming in. I'm getting a lot of applications, so I'm excited to review them and hopefully find extra help for all the incoming work. Wow, David, fantastic. What a nice, nice place to be and nice problems to have. Good for you. Congratulations. That's exciting. And it's an exciting quarter to turn in your business, too, and start bringing in contractors to help you with the writing. That's terrific. And Greg, welcome. I didn't see you come on here. Where are we? And you're in Portland, Maine, and I'm in Maine too. I'm right down the street from you. So we should chat. Beverly's win, conference presentation went very well. Yes, you said, I saw that on Facebook. Congratulations again. That's really cool. That is a big win for you. All right. Excellent, excellent. Katie shared a win, started my game plan, watched step one positioning training, almost had my positioning figured out. Great. Take your time with that, Katie. It's kind of heavy lifting. It takes a while. And you know, don't rush through it. It's important because once you get it down, it's really great to be able to use that in many, many different places. Oh, Beverly, you're stepping away. A newly hatched batch of chicks. All right. We'll be here. Greg, let's see. Client released an ebook I wrote for them about diversity and inclusion in time for you guests with Diversity Month. Perfect. Congratulations, Greg. Yeah, great timing is right. Wonderful. Awesome. Great wins. Thank you guys for sharing. Love to see this. Love to share the positive things we've got going on. That's really cool. Great, great. All right. Just reviewing the chat box, make sure I didn't miss anything. And let's move on to the next question for you folks is what material are you implementing? And it might be something in the program that's maybe in the training dashboard, or maybe it's part of your plan that you're working on. Maybe it's something you're trying that's different or new. Please share in the chat by using a capital I so that we know that that's implementing. And if it's something that you think others would benefit from, you know, if it's a different way of approaching something, part of the process of reaching out to clients or a different way that you're experimenting with, please put that in. So it's helpful information for everybody. So anything in particular, material or process or anything that you're trying that's a little bit different. Eva says she's implementing the LinkedIn 321. It's so easy to maintain and working out wonderfully for me so far. I love it. Yay! Isn't it crazy how simple that can be? So glad. And if you're not familiar with LinkedIn 321, hopefully you saw that Ed and I did a new training for you that was all about LinkedIn and kind of going a deeper dive, the next level down into LinkedIn and using that tool a little differently. And it's differently in a good way, in the sense that it's not this crazy heavy duty, you know, you need to put hours and hours in on LinkedIn, quite the contrary. So if you haven't had a chance to sit through that, it's not super lengthy. I think it's 45-ish minutes or something. Check it out. It's really cool. Ed and I had a ball putting that together for you guys. It's something that we both have been doing, and we realized we need to just share these ideas with people. So it works out really well for me too. Eva, definitely have some patience with it, and I think we'll see some nice results. I'll look forward to updates from you. Karen says, new to me, case studies, and doing a sample. Great. Great, great, great. Lots of good resources for case studies. I think Ed shared some before in the Facebook group as well. Leslie says she's implementing the LinkedIn 321 also. It keeps me accountable. People really appreciate that I'm commenting and sharing. Yes, it's incredible. Yeah, it's an incredibly powerful way to use the tool. And David says, still, again, don't have the action plan, but just listen to a podcast about the benefits of LinkedIn for B2B. So I plan on improving my LinkedIn this week. Yes, and David, definitely check out the one that Ed and I did as well. Like I said, it's not long. It's not a super long training. It's just a 45 minute or so. Lots of good information in there. Might kind of round out and give you a little more insight into using LinkedIn. Awesome, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And yes, David, the training should be in the, it's under bonuses, I believe, in the training, dashboard. So if you go in and scroll all the way to the bottom, it's usually, you'll see it somewhere in the bonus section for bonus trainings. Yeah, Eva says market, under the market segment. So go into marketing and then plan and then LinkedIn. Cool. Thanks, Eva. All right, folks, what will we be talking about today? I'd love to see your questions. Hopefully you have some. Type a capital Q in the chat. And then please keep your question as focused as possible. And one question per person for now. We've got a pretty good group here. And I can always come back to you if you have more than one question. And sometimes when we talk about things, it brings up other questions as we go through. So one at a time, and tell me if there's something that you're already thinking about to resolve the problem so I can get a full sense of what the situation is. So capital Q in the chat. All right. Karen, first in line here with the questions. She says, pivoting from niche hearing aids, manufacturers have no experience hiring outside copywriters, and you're pivoting into generalist with case studies and leverage my connections with business owners through my local chambers, how to position my website and LinkedIn. All right. Karen, I'm hoping you can speak. I'm going to unmute you. If you can't, just let me know. Maybe. Hey there, Karen. Can you hear me?
I don't think so.
All right. Sorry. You're on the phone. All right. Well, I am going to address your questions to the best of my ability. I had some questions. I just want to make sure I understood it. So it sounds like you're making a shift from really a specialized niche of hearing aids. And I seem to recall that. I think I looked at, very possibly looked at your website or something along those lines. I may have reviewed it. But so you're looking to shift into being a generalist, meaning, and I assume that means that you work with any kind of company. It doesn't have to be a company in a particular industry, but really focused on case studies and leveraging your connections with business owners, how to position my website and LinkedIn. So what I would recommend, Karen, is right out of the gate, go back to the section on positioning. Pull that up. So if under the market, if you go and log into the training portal, I would strongly suggest that you go back and look at positioning. It's the very first bucket. It's the very first thing under the market, in the market category, and how to market yourself. So there's a couple different trainings in there, how to position yourself for success, how to write your website copy, and then how to craft an elevator pitch. So definitely the very first one, I think, would be very helpful for you just to kind of refresh your thinking on how do I position myself. And depending on the experience that you have writing case studies, it's if you've got some experience already, maybe some samples and so forth, the positioning should come pretty easily. But what you want to really focus on, I think, for business owners, if that's who you're going to be focused on, is calling on and reaching out to business owners. I think probably one of the best things, first best thing, is to think about, why would they want a case study? What do they think the benefit to them will be? And focus in on positioning yourself around that. So, and you may have to do a little bit of educating. Maybe business owners aren't all fully aware of what case studies can do for them. So be thinking about the benefit for them. How is it going to help them? If they're struggling, if they're a service industry, they're in a service-based business, and even if not, any kind of business really could have, for example, construction, like home housing construction, residential construction companies I've seen, they do great case studies, very visual, obviously lots of pictures, but also, you know, describing the process of building a home for someone and what they do. So it's really it's a matter of, excuse me, figuring out what are the benefits, how will a business owner or a business benefit from having a case study, and then building your positioning around why that's important. So, because what I'm thinking is that if the business owner lands on your website, we're going to be doing the same thing. We want to make sure that they connect with you, understand what they're trying to accomplish. That's probably the most important part here, is that, you know, what's a business owner trying to accomplish? They're trying to separate themselves from the pack. They're trying to show that they're different or they're better than their competitors. You know, and what are the ways to do that? And a case study is a really great way to do that, especially for a high-end product or service. So like home building, as I mentioned, we'll use that as an example. If it's a home builder, there's lots of home builders out there, lots and lots of construction companies. How do I narrow it down to one or the other? How would I, you know, narrow that choice down? So a case study might be a really great way to do that with that type of a client. And Karen says she's doing a sample, and that you have experience in is advertorials and web content. Local business or manufacturing software, bioenvironmental. All of those, excuse me, would benefit from case studies. So what I would suggest is that you take them one at a time. So start with the manufacturing industry and look at how are case studies already being used, perhaps among their competitors, right? Maybe even look in other parts of the country to see what other manufacturers are doing in that same kind of, and do this for each one of these categories. So manufacturing, software, and bioenvironmental. Take a look and see what's going on out there right now and use that to your advantage. How's it being, how are these types of companies within this industry using case studies now, so that you get a sense of how you're gonna pitch, how you're gonna position yourself. And I hope that's helpful. I am hoping that that helps you out a little bit. And if anyone on the call has any other suggestions for Karen, please feel free to type that in the chat. Somebody may have some experience with this beyond what I'm sharing, and certainly feel free to share your perspective as well. All right. All right. Hold on. Super. All right, Eva, thanks for the question. I'm going to read this for everybody. One of my services is to rewrite LinkedIn profiles, and as part of that, giving them a plan to use LinkedIn for themselves. I've done a handful of these projects, and one client has come back asking if I can branch out to helping with a resume, writing biographies, and cover letters. I feel like this is a reasonable project, but I'm not really sure I want to get into resume writing. Yeah. A benefit-focused cover letter and writing a bio is in my wheelhouse. Would charge appropriately for this, but not sure that I want to offer as a standalone. Question is, does anyone have any experience writing resumes or just cover letters for applicants? And has this differed from working with LinkedIn profiles? Great question. I don't honestly know, Eva, that a lot of the folks that come through this program or that are involved in this program are resume writers. You know, it's interesting because I've been working now with Ed going on 2 years, I think, and seen a lot of different writers coming through the program. I don't remember anyone being a resume writer. Now, that is entirely possible that they're out there and it just didn't come to the surface, it didn't come to light. But most of the folks in this program, I think, are doing things like web copy and email and marketing type for businesses and not necessarily for resumes. And I personally don't have a whole lot of experience with writing resumes for other people, with the exception of helping my kids when they were getting ready to graduate from college. But so resume writing is kind of a foreign topic for me. I can tell you though that, you know, just based on what I know obviously about LinkedIn, it does differ. You know, the LinkedIn, if a LinkedIn profile is being used specifically to land a new job, then it should mirror your resume. That much I know. But resume writing has changed. Resumes are looking different and the way that people are talking about themselves on the resumes has changed a little bit. And I honestly don't know if there's to me, honestly, I'll be really candid, Eva, it feels to me like you'd have to write a lot of resumes to make it worth your while. That's just my personal take on it. And I'm not sure. I mean, there's probably writers out there that do very well writing resumes. But cover letters are a different issue, obviously. Most people don't know how to write cover letters. The profile, again, if it's, as you know, from your own experience with LinkedIn, you're creating a LinkedIn profile that reflects your work as a freelance copywriter versus someone who's looking to be employed. So I don't think that there's a big difference between the two if it's purely to land a new job. Your profile should mirror your resume pretty closely. I'm sorry that probably wasn't as super helpful for you, yes, definitely put it out in the Facebook group as well. Yep. And you can even put it in the Q&A thread. Ed might have some insight for you on this as well. I'm sure the question has come up. I've just never dealt with, like I said, with anyone that is a resume writer. So definitely put it in the Q&A thread and I will tag him to take a look at it. All right, Katie. Katie says she's working on her positioning, going from generalist to healthcare, health tech, possibly also education. This is the new headline I'm trying out on LinkedIn, freelance healthcare and education copywriter. I help innovative companies create better brand stories. I really like that. I think that's, you've got your keywords, your SEO keywords, search words in there, you know, healthcare and education. Freelance, copywriter, all of those things are keywords. And I like the tagline is, I help innovative companies create better brand stories. I think it's pretty straightforward. It's simple. It's easy to read. I really like it. I think you've done a nice job with pulling that together. I can see that you spent some time on it. If anyone else has any insight for Katie, please feel free to share that in the chat. All right. So other questions? Anybody else have any other questions for today? You're welcome, Katie. And if not, I have another question for you. And it's always interesting to me for folks like yourselves who've been in this for a while, have been freelancing for a while, we try and come up with questions that we think are just would be interesting for other people to see. And so the question today is, what has been the biggest surprise about being a freelancer? And it could be something positive. It could be something not so positive. You know, one way or another, is there anything that, as you have immersed yourself in being a freelancer, put all your focus and energy into building a freelance writing business for yourself, what's been the biggest surprise? I know for me personally, the thing that surprised me the most, I've been at this for 6, going on 7 years, I think, and what's been the biggest surprise is the pivoting. I just didn't realize that I was going to do it a couple times. I was going to pivot a couple times. I think that was something that, and then all the work that comes with that. So you pivot and you start trying different things, reaching out to different people, things of that nature, and then you have to update your website and you have to change, you know, your positioning, you know, and trying to edit and keep that and continue to evolve. But it's always been interesting to me, this ongoing evolution. I guess I kind of thought I'd get in it and just stay where I was. I didn't realize that it was going to evolve the way it has for me. Beverly says her surprise was the generosity of people in the industry and how exciting it would be to do exactly what I love. Great. That's really wonderful. I'm glad to hear the generosity of people in the industry. I think Ed fosters a lot of that. He's got a lot of goodwill out there and continuing to push it out into the universe. So Karen says the amount of anxiety or panic when I first start to share what I do, especially at each pivot. I agree. It's challenging, isn't it? To not really have it down or not really be sure you're heading in the right direction, but having to go out and explain it to people, whether it's over the phone or in person, can be nerve-wracking at best. Evo says her surprise is the amount of education it takes to explain what I do and how it could help local businesses. Larger businesses get it and either do or don't use freelancers. Small business owners have a hard time understanding that you're not a marketing agency. In it, I do much of the same and can help them. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's a level of sophistication, right, Eva? So for a smaller business owner, maybe a solo business owner or someone with, you know, just a handful of employees, what they're focused on and thinking about is so different than the larger businesses. It's interesting to think about them at different levels and how different you need to approach both of those audiences. Christine says how lonely it can be and the need to interface with other writers. I agree. Gosh, you know, the Facebook group is nice to be able to come together and ask questions and share. I mean, it's not the same as face-to-face. And I don't know if anybody out there attends like face-to-face group, writers groups, if anybody's involved in any, if you are, share that in the chat, but it's, cause it can be nice to have not just meeting with clients all the time or prospects all the time, but to actually talk with someone who's doing the same thing you are. Yeah, Eva said she's pivoting to larger companies instead of just real estate brokerages, agents, and property management companies. Yeah, been a, David says, his surprise is how the biggest rewards has always been followed by the biggest risks. When I quit my full-time job to focus on my writing business, for example. Good for you. Yeah, it is interesting. You got to step out there and put yourself out there. So many people that come through these programs are trying to work full time. You know, they're running a, they have a full time job, trying to make that transition. And sometimes it's just, it's hard to take that step. But good for you, David. And it sounds obviously to me like you're heading in there. You've done the right thing because you're looking to hire out and have some contracted writers come in and help you with your workload. So good for you. All right, so Leslie put in a question. Thanks. It takes a while to build relationships. I've been attending an association networking meeting for years. Now two of them want to work with me. One is an architectural firm that I mentioned. I've also learned how to, important it is to get referrals. It's a lot easier than developing online relationships. I agree with that. It's in referrals, no matter what kind of work you're doing, referrals are just so important. And getting comfortable and getting good at that is so critical, isn't it? I can tell you that the three clients that I have picked up, all three of them were referrals, and the ones that I've just picked up recently. And boy, they're important referrals that I'm so appreciative of. So, you know, and online, you know, it's interesting too. It is a lot easier to get referrals. Obviously, those referrals come to you, and the likelihood of you landing that client is much higher. But online relationships, it's been interesting. I wasn't a huge believer in that at first. Like, am I really going to get any business out of posting all the time? And I can tell you that I recently picked up a client. She's, I think we're going to be starting actually after the first of the year to work together. But she was watching my posts and she's been following what I've been talking about. And she just decided, she reached out to me and asked to, invited me to connect, and then asked if we could talk about how we could work together. So that's probably, for me, it's a slower route to getting clients, but referrals is much quicker and much more successful in my experience. But online is definitely an option. It just, I agree, it takes longer. All right, Karen, great question. She's asking, can you share best tips for referrals, whether nurturing or asking for another one? Great question. Again, anybody on the line, if you've got a tip for Karen in terms of what's worked best for you, please type it in the chat so that we can all see it. But, you know, the best way to do it is, I believe Ed talks about this. Hold on. I'm just going to refer you. I think it's toward, I'm not seeing it. I'm looking at the list of things that he's got in there, and I'm sure there's something about referrals. I'm just not seeing it off the top of my head. I will make a note and find that and post it in the Facebook group. But in the meantime, what I would recommend for you, Karen, is I believe that Ed suggests that you do it at a transition point. So perhaps at the end of a project, you're wrapping up a project for a particular client, maybe it's the first time that you've worked with them, you've never asked for referrals before. If they're happy with your work, it's a really great time. You're ending on a high note with them, you know, wrapping up, yeah, the project was great, we're so happy with your work. That's a perfect opportunity to hit them while they're happiest with you, and they really have a good feeling about your work. And so oftentimes what he'll recommend is that you build that in and say something along the lines of, and I'm totally making this up off the top of my head, but just to say something like, I'm so glad to hear that you're happy with my work. You know, as we're wrapping up here, I wanted to ask, as you know, my business is, I rely heavily on referrals. It's an important part of the way that I build my business. And I'd like, I'm wondering if there's anyone in your network that might have a need for my services as well. And that's just a kind of a nice way to work into it and say, and typically they might say something like, oh, you know what, let me think about that and get back to you. And that's fine. Because sometimes if a client's super happy, they're just going to refer people anyway, which is really nice. I mean, that's the value of building a really good relationship, managing the project well. And then usually at the end, oftentimes I've had that happen a number of times with clients of mine where people were so happy, they just started referring others. And so that's one of the easiest ways to do it is to, you know, pick a time or even, you know, end of a project is always good. Always a good time when they're, like I said, when they're super happy with you and happy with the results that they've received. So I hope that gets you off on the right foot. Let me just see. All right, Katie has another question. Recommendations on how to approach my website copy with new positioning, targeting both healthcare and education. It would probably be easier to just pick one or the other, but is there a way to write website copy that appeals to both target markets? It's easy for me to test on LinkedIn. Do I need to revise my website copy before I start prospecting? I just don't want to endlessly rewrite my copy while I'm still testing my positioning. I think it's absolutely fine, Katie, for you to start prospecting. As long as your website doesn't say something completely different. And healthcare and education are two different fields, two different industries. I think the same recommendation I would give you is similar to what I was talking about earlier, is thinking about what's important to the people in those two industries. Are they trying to reach the same goal? They're looking for the same result, the same benefit. What you're offering, how is it going to benefit them? And is it similar to both? And I think that might be a way to broaden it. You could say something along the lines of keeping it general enough in the sense of I'm a freelance copywriter specializing in creating powerful marketing material for the healthcare and education industries. Something along those lines. And then go from there. So you're basically saying, look, I specialize in marketing. Specialism in marketing and messaging for healthcare and education. But really what you're talking about is, so are the folks in both these industries struggling with the same thing? You know, are they struggling with getting people to understand what they do, or are they struggling with, you know, communicating with their client, with their end client? And approach it from that perspective as opposed to, oh, I've got to talk about this for healthcare and that for education. See if you can find some common ground for now and keep it fairly fairly broad so that you're then talking about, you know, you don't want to go back and forth. The other thing you could do is keep it fairly simple and succinct on your homepage, but then create links. So if you're in healthcare, click here. If you're in education, click here. And then have two separate pages that delve into what you can do for the education industry or for the healthcare industry. And so no, and I wouldn't recommend you waiting with the prospecting. Just go out and try reaching out. And it's like I said, I like that you're taking the approach of testing. I think that's, you're absolutely right about that. So if you're just getting into pivoting and just starting to head in this direction, you don't have enough information yet to know it's going to work. Yeah, and Eva suggested the same thing, building two main landing pages. I hope that was helpful, Katie. David had a question. To expand on Karen's question, would you recommend offering a discount on writing services if a referral becomes a client? For example, if you refer someone to me, they buy my writing services, I can offer you a 10% discount. Absolutely. I've heard of that often. I have heard of that often. So if that's something you're comfortable with, then absolutely, especially, and I think that's something that you reserve, that kind of an offer is something you reserve for someone that you have a really good, strong relationship with. There's nothing wrong with offering that type of a discount, but do it judiciously, I guess would be the best way to say that, you know, like, hey, and if they book me for a writing project, I'll give you a discount. That's something you want to really reserve for your best clients. And if anybody does that, anybody offers a discount for referrals, please also share in the group. Yeah, and Eva is sharing some information. I give my referring client a 10% credit toward a new project. Great. Great. Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for providing your insight to each other. I'm just going to scroll through real quick here, make sure I didn't miss anybody. Yes, and Eva, I like the program that you have talking about, you know, someone refers me 3 paying clients. I give them a 10% credit. So it's more than just one. I agree. That's why I was saying you want to be judicious about who you offer that to. That's a great way to do it, Eva. And it sounds like you've had success with that as well. So awesome. Awesome. Well, we have time for more questions, more comments. Anything else that you folks want to share? Feel free. Now, while you're thinking on that, I'd love to know what's been most valuable for you so far today. We've talked about a lot of different things. We've talked a lot about positioning and pivoting, a lot about things that, you know, referrals and using LinkedIn. And I am curious to know if there's anything in particular that really stood out. Hey, Katie, thanks for letting us know. Take care. Have a good rest of your week. Anything in particular that's been valuable, or feel free to type in a question if you've come up with a question since we've been sitting and kind of thinking through things here. Feel free to add. We still have time for that. Eva says she hasn't sent out referral messages for a while. Reminded me I need to send out a testimonial and referral message to my recent clients. And great reminder for everyone else too, Eva, is the testimonial piece. So, and I tend to forget, and I'm always so mad at myself, is that when a client, again, they're praising you, they're telling you, oh my goodness, this was great. I'm so happy with the work you did on my project. Cool. Can I have a testimonial? So it's just timing, and not that you can't ask, but what I find with testimonials in particular is people are so busy, they just forget. And if they've praised you in some way for the work you've done, oftentimes I will offer to say, do you mind if I write that up as a testimonial and you can review it? And that way, you know, I'll put it together for you. And if we can use that as a testimonial, because I often will offer to write the testimonial because people are busy and they don't have time. But if they've said something that really kind of stuck out, you know, kind of stood out for me, I'll actually write down what they actually said. So you can help them with getting that done. The other thing with testimonials, be sure to seed their thoughts with a testimonial, especially if you're doing it in an email version, is to say, hey, I know you were willing to give me a testimonial. Here's a couple of things that you can consider commenting on. And it might be the work that I did, how professional I was, or how easy I was to work with, or, you know, give them a couple of ideas to help get them started. Because oftentimes people go, oh, you know, what am I going to write? And it can be challenging. Beverly says the referral testimonial thing is a good reminder. Thanks. Eva says I have a fill in the blank one, which is super easy. And that's another thing too, is to give them a framework where they just put in, they can fill in the blanks, or give them an example of, you know, some things people have commented on, so that you're helping them. It makes make it as easy as possible for them to get that back to you. Karen says, the sharing we did about pivots, I felt a bit down, that I'm pivoting again. Glad to hear others have been through this. Absolutely. I have pivoted. It's been a while since I pivoted. I'm just sitting here thinking about the number of iterations that I did with my website, because that's usually where I can tell. I started out as writing anything for anyone, which was really not a good thing. And then, of course, I got involved with one of Ed's programs and straightened that all out. I've probably pivoted three or four times over the course of 6 years. It's been a while. And in the beginning, it took, once I dove in and I started doing stuff, then I realized I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going in this direction. I made the change. I pivoted a couple times early on in my career, in my writing career. And primarily because I was beginning to realize that the work that I was offering to do was very time intensive and very low pay. And I realized quickly, like, okay, I'm not having fun. I'm working my tail off and I'm making like $500. This is not cool. You know, I need to do something different. And so that was the reasons for my pivots were often dollar related. It was, gosh, I need to find something that I can make more money at. I'm going to put in this kind of time. I need to be making some good money. That was just my perspective. So yeah, don't worry about pivoting. Sometimes those are the kinds of pivots that, you know, you just want to get to a point where you feel like this is valuable to you financially, as well as, you know, something that you enjoy. So thanks for sharing that, Karen. Leslie says she appreciates the comments on referrals. And I made a note. I'm going to see. I know Ed has posted things. I think there might be a training on that where he talks about referrals. I'm just looking at it. I don't see it. But I'll find out. We'll get some of that out in the Facebook. Yeah, you just said, I think there is a referral training. I think there is. I just can't have a list, and I'm not seeing. Actually, I take that back. It's in the marketing. It's under marketing and developing a marketing plan, how to get more and better referrals. So it is a training in developing a marketing plan. So when you go into the training portal, go under the market segment, and then scroll down and you'll find how to get more and better referrals. I knew it was in there somewhere. And it's great. This training is really helpful. If you haven't looked at it or haven't looked at it in a while, definitely go back and check that out. Awesome. All right. We still have time for questions if somebody wants to type something else in. If not, start looking at what your top action item is going to be. And I'd love to hear what you guys are going to be doing. And it doesn't have to be something we talked about today. It could be just anything that you have on your plate for the coming week. We're smack in the middle of October, which I can't believe. It's only 2.5 weeks left of the month. And October flew by. So action items, type in a capital A so that I'm sure that I know what it is that you're answering. Beverly says she has several actions, follow up on the conference leads. She's gonna write a formal proposal and contract for a new conference client. Ask for referrals and testimonials. Celebrate your 26th wedding anniversary tonight. Woo, congratulations, how cool. What a cool thing. Celebrate the 18 new guinea chicks in the coop. That's $90, no ramen this month. Good for you. How exciting. Well, congratulations on the wedding anniversary. That's so cool. Good for you. And Greg, I'll come back to your question in just a minute. David is going to await his action plan and get started on that once it arrives, follow up with job applicants, and draft a referral program for clients. Great. Christine is going to dive into the action plan that you just received from Ed. And Karen said, positioning for case studies, start to connect with business owners. Good for you. I'm hoping that was helpful, what we talked about. Greg, hey, I'm going to roll back here. And you had a question about experience with Upwork and making a decent rate. Huh. Well, I don't think those two things go in the same sentence, but it's just my personal opinion. We talk a lot about this in different groups that Ed has, that the question comes up for, you know, Upwork and Fiverr and these kinds of places. It's a great place to go, Greg, if you're just getting started and you just want to get your feet wet, you want to try your hand at a particular project, or get some, start collecting some samples, some real life samples to put on your website, those types of things. It's not a great place to stay long-term. You know, and the reason being is that people go to Upwork and Fiverr to get the cheapest resource they can find, period. They don't want to pay. And what is a concern about that, the thing to be thinking about, and anyone else on the call, feel free to chime in here too with your experience. But what I see is that the consumers, the people that are on there asking for your help, don't really value what you do. They just want, you know, just write me a blog. You know, they don't understand, they don't recognize the value that a professional writer brings, and they certainly don't want to pay for it. And like I said, it's a great place to get some experience if you're looking to pivot, maybe you're looking to try your hand at maybe, you know, writing a case study for someone if you've never done that. But I don't think there's a great way to make a lot of money there. It's certainly not, it's a good starting point. That's kind of my two cents on that. And Beverly says Upwork, grr. Yes. All right, Eva's action item, marketing, and would like to get one more client this month and the testimonial and referral messages out. Leslie's gonna watch the referral training, and you have to go. Take care, Leslie. Allison is gonna send out a proposal to a new potential client and work website copy again. Eva says, I've done a little on Upwork. I've never gotten close to my regular rate, which most in the group think is low anyway. Yes. I've seen writers who are busy at $40 an hour posted, which I find is crazy. I agree. I mean, when you start really breaking it down, you know, looking at the amount of time and effort that we put in, and, you know, when you love what you're doing and you really want it to be good, it's Upwork can make you crazy. All right, take care, Beverly. She's on her way out the door. Greg says, thank you. I've written a few proposals on Upcheck, but nothing yet. Yep. You need to find clients. Absolutely. It's a great place to start. I'm hoping, Greg, that you've taken a look at your network and that you're trying to leverage your network and the people that already know you. And I'm hoping that you've had a chance to do that. And if not, that is something, and I know, I think you are also waiting on your plan from Ed, but let me just see if there's something I can direct you to. In regards to networking, or leveraging your network. Because that's the, you know, when I first started, I know I've talked about this before, but when I first started, I sent out the base emails out to everyone in my network, and I got work from it pretty quickly. And I don't see, it must be. Just looking to see, let me create and execute. Ed has one that might be helpful for you, Greg, under the training, in the training portal under Grow, there is a training entitled How to Quickly Boost Your Productivity that might be helpful. And I'm looking to see anything about leveraging your network. So Karen, I will take a look at that and post it in Facebook as well. See what I can find in terms of training for leveraging your network. All right. David says he's had great success with Upwork. Good for you. Some of your highest paying clients are on Upwork. I think they help because of the top rated status and reviews. Catches, you need to have a profile that shows your value. New freelancers are going to have the toughest time. It's true. It's true. And good for you. Thanks for the perspective on that, David. Some people do have, obviously, you've been having some luck. You know, it's not entirely out of the question to use Upwork, and I think it's worth a shot to try and get some work quickly and try and ramp up. So maybe David's a good person to connect with. Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that's it. I think we're going to wind down here in regards to any other questions or any other action items. And you're welcome, Beverly. Great to have you all here today. And thank you, as always, for not only being here, but contributing and being active participants. This is when the calls are the most valuable for everyone, is when everybody participates and shares their insights. So thank you all again. I wish that you all have a wonderful rest of the week, and I'll see you guys on Facebook. Take care.